covers my sin. Each time I come into your presence, I stand in wonder once again.
Good morning to our listeners. Good afternoon. Good evening, wherever you are joining the live feed from. And those who will be listening later, depending on your time zone. We want to thank God, we want to bless God so much for making it possible for us to congregate virtually to discuss one of very prominent and eluding topics when it comes to doctrine, when it comes to faith, when it comes to the issues of worship. That plays a very, very important role. Last week, we learned about worshiping the Creator. Living several denominations, people have whom they worship, when they worship, how they worship, among others. But what is the biblical set? What is the biblical architecture? What is the biblical standard? What is the model that Christ left for us? And what the disciples followed, what our forefathers followed in the wilderness, and what God instituted after he has made the creation in 6 good days. This is what we are going to discuss. Before we go right into the lesson, you ask Brother Tundrai to pray for us and our viewers. Thank you, brother. Kindly take over and pray for us.
Shall I pray? Our most gracious, loving Father, who is in heaven, Lord, we want to thank you for this time that you've given unto us. Lord, that we might gather here and listen to you to speak through us. Father, we pray as we speak that you might sow seeds, of Father, of your righteousness, that ears which are receiving this word, Father, may be blessed. We pray that let this word bear fruit of righteousness, Father, that it might glorify you in deeds and in acts, Father, and we might also repent from our sinfulness. In Jesus' name I pray for these and many more. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for that prayer. And I want to also thank all our viewers, our subscribers, those who are commenting, those who are sharing our videos. We appreciate all the effort. Let us have introduction to this topic of the Sabbath and the end. As I said in my earlier statement, it is one of the key determinants, if not the main determinant, in the end time. And it's something that is associated with the remnant and those who keep the commandment of God and have the testimony of Jesus. With me to discuss this study is Brother Kapemba, our elder Oliver Chikuta, Brother Delight Shundrai, and then Elder Michael Osei Boateng. I'm your regular host, Stephen Ajimai. The memory text is taken from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9, and I'm taking the reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. And to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Christ Jesus. The essence of humanity's dignity is a common creation. The fact that we are uniquely created by God places value on every human being. The unborn in the mother's womb, the quadriplegic teenager, the young adult with Down syndrome, Alzheimer-afflicted grandmother, all are of immense value to God. God is their father. They are sons and daughters. God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temple made with hands. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth. The book Acts chapter 7, verse 24 to 26. Ours is a shared heritage. We belong to the same family. We are brothers and sisters, fashioned, shaped, and molded by the same God. Creation provides a true sense of self-worth. When the genes and the chromosomes came together to form the unique biological structure of your personality. God threw away the pattern. There is no one else like you in all the universe. You are unique, a one of a kind creation, a being of such immense value that the God who created the cosmos took upon himself fleshly bodies and offered himself as a sacrifice for you and your sins. Unfortunately, intelligence-created beings are reversing the genesis and the purpose of creation of the hyper and super intelligent God. And let me reiterate, the law is the foundation of God's government and revelation of his character. It becomes the standard of his judgment as well. Therefore, as stated in the fourth commandment of the Decalogue, the true Sabbath is to be exalted to its rightful position as God's rest day. That is in Exodus chapter 20, verse 8 to 11, and Isaiah chapter 58, verse 12 to 14. The Sabbath was to be a sign between God and his people. In Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 10 to 12, Jeremiah points to the Sabbath as a memorial of God's creative power, and point to him as the maker of the heavens and the earth. All who should observe the Sabbath signify by such observation that they are worshippers of the living God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. To all who receive the Sabbath as a sign of God's creative and redemptive power, it will be a delight. And seeing Christ in it, they delight themselves in him. Seeing Christ in it, they delight themselves in it. As I said, unfortunately, people have created their own Sabbath. And the biblical Sabbath has been trodden underfoot. And those who are the remnant are people who keep the 10 commandments of God, all of them, and have the faith or the testimony of Jesus Christ. So you cannot have any other Sabbath than the Sabbath that God gave his people. And it doesn't come to me as a surprise that in giving the Decalogue to us, it was at the center of it, the fourth commandment, which actually connects the love between man and God and the love between man and his fellow human being. We will invite our first speaker to help us go through this topic, which is very, very essential as we talk about worship. So, Brother Kapemba, kindly take over from me and help us understand what the judgment, creation, and accountability is all about. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Elder. Greetings, viewers. Thank you very much for joining us once again. So, this week we are looking at the Sabbath and the end. Remember, we are still in Revelation and we're still studying the book of Revelation. So the subtitle on Sunday says the judgment, creation, and accountability. I'll start with two verses, then we'll go to the last verse after some discussion. If we read in Revelation 14, verse 7, it says, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea, in the springs of water. Now, we hear the angel bringing a message of judgment to the people. But after talking about the judgment, he adds something, creation, to it. Now, the question is, what is the link between judgment and creation? That is the question that we are having. So we realize that there are two stories about creation. There are some people who say we are just a product of chance, that after some time, there was an accumulation of cells and we came to being. But we also have the other word that says, the word of God that says we were created by God. So now, if we are a product of chance, then there's no meaning to life. then if we have a product of chance, again, it also means our actions are largely determined by forces that we are not in control of. But on the opposite side, if we are created by God, then we have a purpose of living on this world. And if we are created by God, then, and this God has allowed us to choose whatever we want to do, whether to do right or wrong, then we are accountable for our actions. So the message of judgment brings into it creation. If we were just a product of chance, and if we were not created by God, it would be so unfair to judge us, because it would have meant our actions are not determined by us, but they are determined by the forces that control us. But then we realize and we understand from the word of God that we are created by God, and He's given us this ability to choose what we want in the world. So therefore, we are accountable for whatever we decide to do. So if we read in Romans 14, verse 10, it says, but why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So it is still bringing the aspect of us being accountable for our actions. Let me read the last one as I set the foundation for our lesson. We are going to read in James chapter 2, verse 8 to 13. And it says, if we really fulfill the royal law according to scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one, he is guilty of all. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. Now, if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. Now, here we are, we're being told of keeping the entire law. And at the end of the in verse 12, it brings in the issue of judgment. When we look at what we've been told we have to keep the whole law and not impartiality. Because he gives an example to say, the one who said, do not commit adultery, is the same person who said, do not commit murder. Now, I can also add to this that the same person who told us not to commit adultery and not to commit murder is the same person who told us to keep the Sabbath. So we are bringing in the issue of the Sabbath also into the law keeping. And we remember the Sabbath was instituted just right after creation as a ceremony to remind us that God created this world in 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested. So the same God who tells us to keep the law, the one who tells us not to murder and not to commit adultery, is the same God that is telling us to keep the Sabbath. Thank you very much. I'll now leave it back to Elder Ajman. I've laid the foundation for the lesson. Elder Ajman, please take
it. Yeah, thank you very much for laying that foundation, that wonderful foundation. And we are accountable. The issue is that now the demand on us, on God's people regarding the Sabbath, is higher than when he even first instituted. The level of knowledge that we have actually attained is so much that we cannot afford to trodden down the Sabbath. We cannot afford to trumpet this message. We are supposed to leave our employment and give a holiday to God. People are championing other Sabbaths. The European Alliance for Sunday Worship, for instance, are trumpeting the wrong Sabbath. And the documentation and all the systems are far in place. They are pushing so hard for Sunday to be made the day of the Sabbath. So as we go through the lesson, you know which particular day the Lord approves. We will invite our next speaker to help us understand the other lessons that this study has actually brought to the fore. I don't want any of us to miss any of this powerful lesson. So we invite Elder to help us understand the issues about the Sabbath. Elder Michael, what is the issue about the Sabbath and creation? How are these two linked? There's a strong connection between the Sabbath and creation. Elder Michael, if you can hear me, kindly take over. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Elder, for the powerful leadership. And also, I want to thank our presenter, Brother K, for laying such powerful foundation for me. Now, our next subtopic is the Sabbath and creation. But before, I would like to begin with these questions. Maybe it will give us an enlightenment to the subject that we are going to discuss. when we look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 1 to 3, Exodus 20, verse 8 to 11, and Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 15, and again, Revelation chapter 14, verse 6 and 7, all these Bible verses give us an understanding about this Sabbath and then the creation. How do these verses to contribute our created need or you submit? Going back to Adam and Eve, and also not only that, but which provide us with a timeless and eternal link, also died our death for us. Again, it's also a reminder that we are to worship our Lord. And by doing that, we are accepting the fact that he is a creator. So the Sabbath is a symbol of our rest. And again, it's also a sign for us to worship him. Our choice to do so comes from his word. And as we said, the power of choice has been given to us. And also, it's a reminder of resting in his righteousness rather than our own works. Of receiving his grace, not relying on our legalistic obedience of depending on God rather than ourselves. So basically, this lesson is telling us to worship our creator. So if I'm to summarize the whole content, one, Genesis chapter 2, verse 3, gave us an account that God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it because in it he rested from all his works, which God had created and made. So after finishing the creation of earth and all living beings on it, God created a day called the Sabbath. That's Genesis chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. And Sabbath was created for a sinless world. It was a moment of special relationship with our God. After sin, Sabbath became special for several reasons. Before I end my submission, this is what I want to share with our listeners and for all of us. One, Sabbath and creation, these two, they are a token of loyalty to the creator. And also, the Sabbath reminds us that we are children of God. Again, it encourages us to rest in God and rejoice in him. And also, it's a reminder of our redemption. Furthermore, it allows us to rejoice in God's kindness. Again, the Sabbath is a special moment to worship our creator and redeemer. And lastly, listeners, this Sabbath that we are treating is the link between Eden and the new earth. May the Lord bless us and keep us. And we do believe that they've seen the connection between the Sabbath and the creation and how these two can help us to be saved, to be part of the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Elder, once again for helping us to get the link between creation and that of the Sabbath, between creation and that of the true day of worship. We have this environmental movement that are trying to carve a new day of worship. And the new day they are carving is what man has made as against what God instituted. So beware about this environmental movement or environmentalists who are moving for another Sabbath that is not sacred. Go through the Bible. You can read from the book Genesis to Revelation. And the Bible never mentioned any other day than the seventh day, which is Saturday, the day that God instituted right after creation. Christ himself observed it in Luke chapter 4, verse 16. The apostles did, Paul did it in Acts chapter 17, verse 2. And it has continued to attain. So please look through the Bible, study the Bible for yourself and ask the question. Some of us ask that fundamental question and God help us to actually get that particular day that he has not changed. His Lord has not changed himself, has not changed. So his Sabbath will not also change. Elder, kindly help us to go through the next study. Thank you.
Thank you, Elder, and thank you to those who have presented before me. And I want to also welcome the people who are viewing from wherever they are. On this important subject, on the Sabbath and the end, I'm going to touch on a not so subtle deception. not so subtle deception, meaning that the devil has tried to deceive humanity, to desecrate God's holy Sabbath, and trying to dethrone God by refuting the idea of creation and replacing it with something else. So what is this deception? The deception is that there is the belief, or there is this teaching, that yes, God is the prime cause of creation, but he took long ages to bring life to existence. Yes, he is the prime agent, but do not want to admit that God created. They're saying, yes, he caused existence to take place, but that took place over billions of years. And that is the process called evolution. I think anyone in their right senses by this age of time should now understand that the whole evolution theory is a fallacy, and there is nothing that really holds water on that. The idea behind this approach is to try to harmonize science data and the Genesis account. Yes, there is an element of creation from God, but there is also an element of things happening by their own accord over a long period of time. So they're trying to harmonize two mutually exclusive things. Evolution and creation cannot coexist, because the creator did not allow things to evolve, but he made things. He assumes that it took billions of years to bring life into existence, and refutes the six literal days of creation, or 7-day literal week. Now, something doesn't add up here. If you go to your Bible and read from Psalm 33, verse 6 and 9, and also we read from Hebrews chapter 11, 3, I'll read from Psalm 33, verse 6 and 9. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. Verse 9 says, for he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Now, the God who speaks things into existence, would he need hundreds of thousands of years to create things, if by the very word of his mouth, things can come into existence? Why would he need billions of years to create a stone? How would he need billions of years to create a being called a human being? Why would he need the Ramapithecus, whatever those are, evolution stages, if he can speak things into existence? So for anyone who is a Bible scholar, who believes in the word of God, it does not make sense to harmonize creation and evolution, because these, as I said, are mutually exclusive. Now, if you read from Hebrews 11, verse 3, it says, by faith, we understand that the worlds were formed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. So we believe the world was formed and organized and arranged by the word of God. God, we learned in previous lessons, he barred things. He created things from nothing. He does not need raw materials to make anything. But he, by his word, can make things exist. God doesn't need visible things to make other things. Does God require ages to make things happen? Definitely not. Because right now, he can speak something into existence. Right now, he can speak anything into existence. If evolution were true, why are we not seeing things still evolving today? That should tell us that there's someone who is having this not so clever deception. Why are we not seeing apes turning into human beings today? Why are we not seeing black people turning into white if evolution is that process? Really, this is not so subtle deception. God does not require anything to make things happen. The Genesis creation account is clear that God created the world in 6 literal days and rested on the 7th. The word for day that is used in Genesis is yom, Y-O-M. It limits the day to only 24 hours. So there's no long day which is made up of hundreds of years. A day in the creation account is a literal 24-hour day. There's no prophecy there in Genesis chapter 1. This is literal. So if God didn't create in 6 literal days, then what's the essence of instituting the seventh-day Sabbath? It doesn't make sense. So the Sabbath only makes sense when we recognize God as a creator who did the creation in 6 literal days. Why would God even command people to observe the seventh day as a holy day if he did not create in 6 literal days? Why the seventh? Why would the whole earth, as written in Isaiah chapter 66, worship God on the Sabbath, every Sabbath, even in the earth made new, if there were no 6 literal creation days? So by attacking the Sabbath, Satan is challenging the very heart of God's authority. And unfortunately, many have fallen to this fallacy. And as the elder was saying, they are worshiping or observing some spurious Sabbaths that are being made by men, not the one that was made by God, in which he himself rested and commanded that we should also rest. The Sabbath remains a memorial of God's creation. And if we remove the Sabbath, we are literally dethroning God. We are literally refuting the fact that God created in 6 literal days. Therefore, we are dethroning God from his throne as the King of Kings, the Creator, and the Sustainer of all things. Thank you, Elder.
Thank you so much, Elder, for making the next lesson so simple. Creation, the Sabbath, and the end time. The great controversy that started millennia ago is there to question God's authority. And that challenge actually remains with us today. When you read the account in Revelation chapter 14, verse 7, 9, and 12, this verse calls us to issues about worship, so central in the last day conflict. Whether you're worshiping Christ or you're worshiping something else, as we've always maintained, there is no gray area, there's no middle ground. Either you are for or you are against. The question is, do you worship the creator or you worship a human system? If Christ is the creator who forms us from the ground, then he has to be given that due respect. He demands our worship. One, because he owns us by redemption. He owns us by creation. The seven-day Sabbath was embedded at creation's account, as we read in Genesis chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. And it stands as the eternal and immutable sign of that creation, unchangeable. It is the most basic symbol of what basic teaching and worship is all about. The only thing more fundamental to itself as to God. So any person, any authority, any institution that tried to unsurp the seven-day Sabbath, and we are reiterating the seventh-day Sabbath, is trying to unsurp that authority of God and his identity as the creator. It is to get behind everything possible that of his identity. And people are doing everything, Satan is doing everything to uproot this core institution that God put in place immediately after his creation. And the man of sin, as mentioned in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4, is doing everything and making these connections with the global institutions. I talk about the European Sunday Alliance. I talk about these environmental groups that are clamoring, people talking about bringing back the blue laws that support another day of worship rather than the free day that God has given us. If people are free moral beings created by allowing God to exercise their free conscience? Why do you want to tie people? Why do you want to force people into accepting a day that you have instituted? And it's so catchy that it's going to take the people by surprise. That's why we say this is going to be one of the determinants, if not the key determinant, of our allegiance to that true worship. Because you are going to have free time with your family. They come with family issues. They come with work-related issues. So the trade unions, among others, are in cahoot with this day of worship. And they are pushing that agenda. And we are told that these trade unions are going to be one of the agents through which the devil is actually going to use to ensure that his mandate is instituted. Of course, the real issue in the last days, as I mentioned, is our love and our loyalty to Jesus. But we know that loyalty is expressed in our obedience to his commandment. That's 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, and Revelation chapter 14, verse 12. The Sabbath alone is a commandment that's behind everything because it alone points to God as our creator in Exodus chapter 20, verse 8 to 11. And it comes as no wonder that this becomes the outward symbol of division between God's people who worship the true creator and those who worship the beast in Revelation chapter 14, verse 11 and 12. Therefore, the Sabbath is considered as a basic and fundamental in everything else, as it is hard to see how the final issues of worshiping the creator could be about anything else than the days that we talk about. So please take your time, read through the Bible and ask yourself this fundamental question. Am I worshiping the true God? Am I worshiping on the right day? Am I following his commandment, which is character, which are his standard authority, which are his standard for judgment? People are riding on cheap grace. People are riding on false theology. Please, we are calling you to take a personal study and come to a conclusion because some of us were there. We asked for God's guidance. We asked for the Holy Spirit. And we did our own research. We did our own reading. We read what our belief systems are, the church that we profess or that denomination that we profess to be part of. We read what their documentations are, what their doctrines are, and we compared those with scripture. Scripture with scripture. We came to a personal decision. We've always reiterated on this platform that salvation is not going to be cooperative. It's not going to be a family. It's not going to be the whole church. It's not going to be my community, my country. It's going to be on individual basis. Each and everyone is going to give his account. Don't follow your pastor. Don't follow your tradition. Don't follow that we have been born to this particular denomination or this particular church. And for that matter, that's where we belong. Change your mind based on the standard of God, based on his scripture, based on things that says the Lord. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this, because there's no light in them. We will ask our next speaker to help us understand the Sabbath as the eternal rest. Brother Tundra, can you take over and help us understand why that Sabbath is a symbol also for eternal rest? Thank you. Will the Sabbath continue even in heaven and the new earth?
Amen. Thank you, Elder, for such a powerful talk. So my task is just to sum up what has already been said by the presenters before me. And to our viewers, I implore you also to take time, as my elder has said, to research on these things. So one of the things as we are discussing on Thursday, it has a title which says the Sabbath and the eternal rest. So on Thursday, we are going to be equating the Sabbath, this day we are talking about, and this place where we all dream about going. This is the climax of Christianity. This is the climax of any religion. They believe that there is a place where we are going to have a rest. We are going to actually retire from this world. So before we go there, now, to sum up what my co-presenters have said before, the Sabbath is a place of refuge. So each and every day we take rest from our labors of the week and we take a day apart, the Sabbath. It's not just a mere day, it's God's day where he has set apart that we might take time to fellowship with him and enjoy the goodness of his creation. Our author of our quarterly or our lesson, he has introduced the Sabbath as a place of refuge in a weary world. I liked this definition. And he has said also that each seventh day, which is the Sabbath, God's heaven's palace descends from heaven to earth, and the Lord invites us into the glory of his presence for this 24-hour period. So this is the time where actually we experience the heaven palace. One of the preachers I once heard, he was saying one time when he was flying on a Sabbath, he was taking pictures of the clouds. To his surprise, in his pictures, he saw also angels flying in heaven on the Sabbath. So that means it's just not a mere day. It's a God's day that God has blessed. Even in the times of Jesus, it says on the Sabbath, he would go and heal. So if you want blessings, if you want to experience God, ask his experience on the Sabbath. So as we equate this day now to the eternal rest, it says one of the authors of the book, which we are given here, it says this author is called Heschel. So in his author, his daughter was writing that the Sabbath is a metaphor for paradise and a testimony to God's presence in our prayers. We anticipate a messianic area that will be the Sabbath. So one of the things that he's saying that heaven itself is going to be a Sabbath. I know this is a topic for another day, but heaven itself, paradise itself, it is a Sabbath. If you're going to read with me from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9, let's start from 8. It says here, "For if Jesus had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day." Verse 9, underline verse 9, says, "There remain therefore a rest for the people of God. For he that enters into the rest, he has also ceased from his work as God did from his." So God has promised us eternal rest. And in this, he has also rested from his work. So that's one equation that we see, that eternal rest and Sabbath itself, it has a key factor, which is rest. And as we proceed, I'm going to read here from Isaiah chapter 65, verse 17. So Isaiah chapter 65, verse 17, it says here, "For behold, I create a new heaven and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered and come to mind." So this is Isaiah chapter 65, 7 to 17. And Isaiah chapter 66, 22, it says, "For as the new heavens and the new earth that I shall make shall remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your offerings and your name shall also remain." And the last verse I'm going to read with you is from 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. It says, "But according to his promise, we are all waiting for the new heavens and the new earth in which righteousness shall dwell." So at Jesus, at creation himself, Jesus built a new earth and a new heaven. And we have this guarantee that him who he has created a new heaven back then, he has also potential, he has power to create. Elder Oliver talked about Bara, that he is him. He is able to create a new heaven and a new earth. So we have this promise that if he is able, this same God has also given us a Sabbath rest. And then the same God who has also promised that indeed he shall also give us paradise where we shall enjoy and rest with him. So as I conclude, I want to take your attention to the book of Isaiah chapter 66, 23. It says here, "For new moon to new moon and from Sabbath to Sabbath, all flesh shall come to worship before me, declares the Lord." So inasmuch as we might not want the Sabbath, there is also a point that the Sabbath is a metaphor of what we are going to enjoy in heaven. So if we don't practice the Sabbath whilst we are on earth, we will never know the taste. We will never know how it feels to enjoy the rest in paradise. And if we are to take a person who doesn't believe in the Sabbath rest, and we put him in heaven, it is difficult for him or for her to live in heaven now. So the secret I'm saying to us, dear believers and dear listeners, is that the Sabbath was made for us as a practice of what we are going to enjoy when we get to heaven. It's a call that I leave with you now, that let us take the Sabbath as a personal practice for heaven. We will not enter heaven, mark my words. I know this is a topic for another day, but we will not enter heaven if we don't stand on the commandment of the Lord, if we don't observe the practice and observe the Sabbath rest. And it is also a foretaste of heaven, of what we are going to enjoy. So may we take time, study the Sabbath, pray hard that, Lord, please reveal to me what you want me to understand about the Sabbath. And he will surely reveal to us this taste and let us taste and see how good it is to take time to enjoy with the Lord on the Sabbath. May we be blessed. Amen.
Amen. The Sabbath is the only reasonable, scientific, and accurate means of explaining the weekly cycle. That is the only means that is available to explain that weekly cycle. No scientific data, no philosophical ideology has been able to explain why that weekly cycle exists. Like the Sabbath, the week originated at creation and it has been preserved and brought down to us through Bible history. After giving the command, he states the reason for observing the week by pointing back to his own example. That is what Jesus did. You can read this in Exodus chapter 20, verse 8 to 11, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. And this is an exquisite quote that I took from my favorite Christian author, Ellen Good White, in her book, Patriot and Prophet, page 111. We are taking the summaries and the take-home messages for 1 minute. Father Kapemba, kindly take over and give us your summary.
Oh, thank you very much, Elder. This was a wonderful lesson. My summary on Sunday, the judgment, creation, and accountability. Our understanding of creation will influence our behavior. If we are created by God, we are accountable to whatever that we do. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We are created by God and we are accountable. Everyone is accountable to his maker. We quickly move to Elder Chikuta to give us the take-home message. Thank you, Elder.
Thank you. My take-home message is, if we take away the Sabbath, we dethrone God. Wow. So let us observe the Sabbath, since it is at the heart of the authority of God.
It is at the heart of the authority of God. Brother Chundrai, take over.
Thank you very much. The Sabbath is a foretaste of heaven. We'll enjoy heaven if we enjoy the Sabbath. You won't enjoy heaven if you are not enjoying the Sabbath. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Rebels cannot join that particular congregation. You are learning something here. You are observing the commandment, not because of your strength. The Holy Spirit empowers you to be able to do that. And Christ is going to clothe you with his righteousness. You are saved to be obedient. You are not saved to be disobedient to the Lord. And let me read from the book of Revelation chapter 14, verse 8, which will give us a foretaste of our next lesson's preview. Another angel followed, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she has made all nations drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. So what is this confusion that we're talking about? Come out of her. What is this wine of fornication that we're talking about? If you want to get in-depth insight into this particular topic, join us next week on the same network at the same time at exactly 12 noon for Beijing time, and you will be thrilled. Or watch our videos later on our present True Talk Show channel and our affiliate channels. God richly bless you. Until we will meet again, we cannot live without praying. So we will ask Brother Kapemba to pray for us and commit our viewers and us as a team. It's not been easy, but God has been faithful that he should continue to put his words into our mind. He should minimize the influence of something that we have said that will not benefit our viewers, but optimize the words that he has used and want us to speak to them. Thank you, brother.
Oh, let us pray. Thank you for the blessing of life. We thank you that we've come to the end of this recording. Almighty, we've faced a lot of challenges just to come to this stage, but we praise your name that we were able to. And we ask that Almighty, you bless our viewers, and as you bless each and every one of us, help us continue to learn of your word and help us to do that which you want us to do. We leave everything in your hands and ask that your will be done. In Jesus' name I ask, amen.
Amen. Let us make this disclaimer and the caveat. We are not inciting anyone against anyone. We are not being extreme. We are calling you to a true worship. We are calling you to true research. We are calling you to go through the Bible, go through your religious books that you have, compare them with the scripture, and pray that God will guide you to make the right decision. We will come your way next week. Until then, we say bye-bye. Have a God-filled week.
Into your presence, I stand.